This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Monday, October 16th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. House Aggies reassured as Jordan tries to win speakership. Decision on use of glyphosate in the EU delayed, and China buys U.S. wheat. House Aggies reassured as Jordan tries to win speakership. Conservative firebrand Jim Jordan is working to nail down the House speakership, but he heads into the votes this week with a steep hill to climb. During secret balloting on Friday, 152 of his colleagues said they would vote for him on the House floor, and that is well short of the 217 he needs. But Jordan appears to have gone a long way toward easing concerns of Farm District Republicans about his long record of voting against farm bills and policies like the sugar program. Members of the House Ag Committee, including Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson, expressing confidence Jordan understands the importance of passing a farm bill. Thompson says he still intends to move a bipartisan bill that protects nutrition spending. Notably, House Ag members Dusty Johnson of South Dakota and Rick Crawford of Arkansas spoke during Friday's GOP conference meeting in favor of Jordan. He and I have talked about what we think is necessary to get a farm bill across the finish line, so I don't anticipate any issues at all, Crawford spoke with AgriPulse. Now, take note, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York said yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press that there are informal conversations underway on a bipartisan solution to the speakership vacancy. When we get back to Washington, it's important to begin to formalize those discussions, he said. Decision on use of glyphosate in European Union delayed till November. A European Commission committee failed to reach a qualified majority on Friday to renew approval of glyphosate for 10 years. A qualified majority is defined as at least 15 countries representing 65% of the European Union's population. The EC is the EU's governing arm. An appeal committee will set up in November, the EC said. COPA COGECA, a major group representing farmers in Europe, said in a statement that, quote, whatever the final decision that emerges from this reauthorization process, there is one reality that member states will have to face up to. There is, as yet, no equivalent alternative to this herbicide, and without it, many agriculture practices, notably soil conservation, would be rendered complex, leaving farmers with no solutions. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Good morning and welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. China makes another big U.S. wheat purchase. Chinese customers contracted to buy 181,000 metric tons of U.S. soft red winter wheat on Friday. That according to a daily sale reported by USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service. That follows a similar report posted by FAS on October 3rd of a Chinese purchase of 220,000 tons of U.S. soft red winter wheat. Both purchases are for delivery in this current 23-24 marketing year that runs from June until May. Soft red winter wheat prices are competitively priced compared to other origins, and China's COFCO is seizing on this opportunity on buying quality wheat. U.S. Wheat Associates Vice President of Overseas Operations Mike Spear told AgriPulse in a statement. It's not unusual for COFCO to buy U.S. wheat when it's priced right. The October 3rd Chinese purchase was the largest soft red winter wheat purchase by China since July 2013, that according to U.S. Wheat Associates. USDA presses Costa Rica to simplify bureaucracy for dairy trade. Costa Rica is a growing market for U.S. dairy exports, but the country's requirements on U.S. producers are too burdensome. Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agriculture Affairs Alexis Taylor said on a podcast by the International Dairy Foods Association. That's why the department is making it a priority to, quote, streamline and simplify the process to get dairy facilities registered with Costa Rica, a prerequisite for U.S. producers to export to the Central American country. The ministry doesn't require on-site inspections of U.S. facilities, but it can take more than half a year to get each U.S. facility approved amid the lengthy questionnaires and voluminous paperwork. Meanwhile, the U.S. exported a record $40 million worth of dairy and dairy products to Costa Rica in 2022. That's according to USDA data. Arizona Farm Bureau pulls out of Governor's Water Council. Arizona Farm Bureau President Stephanie Smallhouse said Friday that her organization is withdrawing from the Water Policy Council created earlier this year by Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs. Smallhouse says the council has been deaf to the concerns and priorities of Arizona's farm and ranch families. At best, our priorities have been given very little committee consideration, or at worst, have been totally dismissed. This is unacceptable to our members, farm and ranch families, who will undoubtedly be impacted directly and immediately by any rural groundwater regulatory framework. Smallhouse said Arizona Farm Bureau believes any new regulatory structures for Arizona groundwater need to be, quote, new and innovative and driven by locally elected planning body. Stone Fruit Company files for bankruptcy. A top stone fruit producer says it is looking for a third-party buyer after filing for bankruptcy in Delaware on Friday. Prima Wawona is the product of a merger 4 years ago of two large San Joaquin Valley operations, Gerwand Farming and Wawona Packing. The company has been in financial trouble for a while. The San Joaquin Valley Sun reported in June that it had lost almost all of its value since merging in a deal facilitated by private equity firm Payne Schwartz, which is now being sued by Gerwand. The company listed between $500 million and $1 billion in assets and between $1 billion and $10 billion in liabilities. The company said it's beginning the Chapter 11 case with the backing of its lenders, who entered into lender support agreement among themselves. The largest creditor listed in the filing is the management consulting firm McKinsey & Company, which is owed $8 million. Major crop input provider Nutrien is owed $520,000. Well, that's Daybreak for this Monday, October 16th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.